You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. We should have a nice, fun, controversial, crazy show today. At least I hope so, Ray.
Controversial?
Maybe.
How?
Did you see the football game on Saturday?
Heck no.
You and many others did not. You and a few empty seats did not. I heard your show, your news program just now.
Yeah.
36 they announced?
36
and change, I think it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let me tell you something.
37, yeah.
They can't count because it was less than 30,000.
You were there?
I saw.
Yeah.
I saw. I don't think it was that.
It's not good, man.
But that was, tickets sold probably. And guess what day it was?
Saturday.
Homecoming.
Day game. Homecoming.
Yeah. Okay. So now anytime you hear people complaining about it's too late, I don't want to go, guess what? Well, you had a chance to go at noon or 1:30 or whatever time that was.
Yeah.
And guess what? They didn't go.
No.
Do you think it's the product?
If the product is doing well, then yes.
They're going to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, this is like my mom's analogies when she does that every now and again. So Steven, if you had $1.50 and you could, $1.50 and you had a, could spend it in a bag of oranges, would you go buy the good ones for $1.50 or a bunch of bad ones for $1.50? But you have a lot of them. Of course you go and buy the good ones. The other ones are not going to be edible, right? Why have a bunch of bad oranges that you cannot eat when you can buy just a few of good ones? Guess what? This is not a good football team. People aren't going to spend good money on a bad bunch of oranges.
It's true.
And guess what they're doing? They're not doing it. And I have Greg Hansen calling in at 6:15, Lamont Hunley at 6:45. And you can't, Tucson, you don't make a ton of money. Not everybody makes a ton of money.
No.
It's a workers' man place. You're not going to convince them to spend this money on bad bunch of oranges.
Just because.
Go back the red, blah, blah, blah. Because if they're not good enough, you're not going to spend any money to go see them. You could watch them on the TV and drink your $3 beer or whatever.
Instead of the $10
beer. $10
beer.
Yes, I'm not, obviously I'm not promoting U of A at all. Haven't for a while because of the situation. But yeah, there's a lot to change there. You're not going to sell a bunch of people bad oranges.
And I was at that at the Parents Weekend game against Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Washington. And the lady in front of me was like, "Man, it's incredible. There's so many people here. I haven't seen this many people here ever in a long time."
And was she a regular person?
I don't know.
Well,
but I said to her, I'm like, "It's because we've been winning. Don't
right.
you see that? That's why people are here."
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah. And then after that game, guess what?
Yeah.
Buckle up. The plane is crashing.
Yeah, down the tubes.
Yeah, but you know what? We all knew this. I mean, the people that really knew this.
Yeah.
Knew this. Because, you have some fans, they're great, doing great. They're 4-1. They're doing really well, blah, blah, blah. I said to somebody this morning, I won't say who, we were talking, well, if you play Cal Poly Pomona, whatever, 4 straight times, and you're UCLA, guess what you're going to do? Don't you think you should win those games?
Yeah.
And then when you start getting the competition that's equal or better, guess what's going to happen?
Well, I think if you looked at the Hawaii thing in the first game of the season.
Gave you pause.
Yeah.
Gave you pause. What did it give you when you saw that?
Well.
Agita?
What's that?
Agita?
I don't know.
I think it's like acid reflex. I think it's just kind of like a...
Yeah.
Like a, oh God.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just, well, you were skeptical.
Yeah. You should be, though.
Isn't that the team that you saw in the last 3-4 weeks?
Yes.
It's not good. I hate to be the bearer of bad
news. The downer?
News. Yeah, well, I said this before the season in the summer when I was doing the show. Someone emailed me, "Well, Steve, why are you so down on him? You haven't even seen him play. You haven't done..." No, but, you could see. When you're doing a racetrack, you study the racing form and you eliminate horses so you can get the one that's going to win. I'm horrible at it. But guess what? This was a horse that was crossed off a long time ago. Yeah,
the writing is on the wall.
Yes.
As they say.
Mm-hmm. You can still believe. They might pull off something here. But But they couldn't beat Oregon State. That's the last game I had them winning.
I watched Utah over the weekend, and I watched Oregon over the weekend.
They both looked very good. I still believe it's how you play that day, but they looked very good that day. Even on a bad day, I think they're going to be okay with Arizona. That's what this place has come to. It's not, sorry, but it's true. It's true, and it's been that way for a long time. You know, with an occasional good season here and there. Stoops had a couple. Rich Rod had a couple back in, 2014-15 when he went to the Pacific South, or Pac-12 South title, or to the championship game, actually. Played Oregon and got crushed. Well, it's tough. There's no question it's tough. We'll see what happens. And then basketball, it was Friday night. We'll talk a little about that, too. Basketball, Friday night, they played UC Davis. UC Davis? Who'd they play? No.
Chico State.
God, I'm sure UC Davis.
Yeah.
I was at the game, and I can't remember. They played. Oh, they didn't play very well. I'm still in exhibition form, too. They didn't play really well. They're also missing Mr. Najee. He's out with it. I think he's going to be back Wednesday for the first game against NAU. And then, obviously, Devin Erdutree was suspended, and he still is. Probably won't be playing in the first game. Sean had a press conference today, talked about both of those situations. Najee will probably play, and Devin Air, not so much. So there's a lot of work to do, and I said that in my column. This is in November. Guess what? What'd you win in November? Not a darn thing, except you get, oh, wow, they look great. Or they look bad, blah, blah, blah.
Same thing with the football team.
Exactly.
Same story.
Oh, what do you win in November?
Yeah.
Nothing. That's true. But I think Arizona's going to be good. They're going to be good in November, December. Not November, I'm sorry. January, February, and we'll see what happens in March. Because that's how people are gauged now. Coaches are gauged. You could have a horrible November, a good November, December, blah, blah, blah. But you're measured in
March.
March. Yeah. And if you happen to get into April, more power to you. It means you've had a great year. So we'll see. We'll talk about that with Greg, too, on the other side of this break. Are you ready to go on the break? Let's take a break here.
Then we
give Greg a call here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. And let's go to the phone lines right now. We have the Arizona Daily Star columnist Greg Hansen. Greg, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. How about you, Steve?
I'm fine, thank you. We're doing as well as the football team, if it's just okay. Well, actually, we're doing better than them. How is it covering Colorado State?
You mean Colorado?
Colorado. I don't know. Colorado State, this team, compare it to any other team, I don't know, you can say New Mexico or whatever. This team is not any good, and it feels like the whack days when you covered a bad team.
You know, Arizona hasn't been this bad since the 1960s. It's just
Wait, let me say, so Makovic's teams are better? We're better?
No, I mean, well, yeah, for 2.5 years, his teams are worse.
Wow.
But in the last, since Dick Tomey was fired, you know, Arizona has the worst conference record in the Pac-12. The worst. Behind Oregon State, behind Washington State. And in the 90s, Arizona had the second-best record in the league. So, I mean, this isn't just a glitch. This has happened for 20 years.
The numbers don't lie, apparently, huh? They don't?
You know, Arizona is 51 games worse than Oregon since Dick Tomey left, and just in conference games.
Wow. Wow. And there was a time when Arizona would beat them. I'm not sure on the regular, but they would beat them fairly regularly.
Yeah, until 2000.
Right.
And that's a long time. I mean, 19 years.
Yeah.
But still.
No.
Football team be bad for 20 years?
No.
Been bad for 20 years.
Let's say, so after Tomey, you had Makovic, who was a disaster. You had Stoops, who was okay. I'd give him a C+, wouldn't you, overall, now?
He rebuilt from nothing and had three, you know, really decent years.
And he had good talent. He had good talent.
Yeah.
Probably the best talent in the last 20 years on teams. They played in the NFL for a long time.
No question. And Rich Rod's first two teams
had those players.
Working for Mike Stoops' personnel, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and then Rich had maybe one or two good years outside of an upset or two every now and again, and now here we are, year one and a half of Sumlin, and it's I don't know if a disaster is the right word, but it's probably, if it's not a disaster, it's close to it.
Sure, I mean, it would be, you'd be too harsh to say it's a sinking ship, but it's taking out a lot of the water.
Wow, yeah, no, I don't disagree. And I don't know if you go to McHale as, I know you probably don't go as often as you used to. Like me, I used to be there all the time. Had some good sources, had some good friends. I rarely go in there. They wouldn't even know who the heck I am. They're not warming. They're not inviting. They're not helpful. I'm saying this publicly because, well, what the heck? What do I have to lose?
The door's locked.
You're joking.
No, haven't you tried to go in there the last few years?
Why? There's one special. Really?
Yeah.
No, I've been I go through this one door that's typically open all the time. Maybe I'm just right time, right place.
Well, one door is open in the very front by the ticket office.
Yeah.
And all the others
are locked. That's the one. Wow. Well, they don't want you there. They don't want me there. They don't want people there. Don't you think that attributes to the kind of like the warm fuzzies that people are getting who have to buy tickets? They just don't feel wanted?
Yeah, it's kind of ironic. I agree with that 100%, Steve, that they do an admirable job of fan engagement. That's a new thing in college sports. You know, they make the seats a little bit wider. They serve beer. They have television screens everywhere, and they try to make the video screens more entertaining, but they call that fan engagement, and yet they don't engage the fans.
It's like Archie Bunker inviting you to the house, giving you a beer, and saying, "Yeah, take the couch."
That's a good one.
But it's true. They don't embrace. You know, they don't embrace. I'm saying stuff that you and I know, not the public knows.
Yeah. All right. How about this one? You tell me if I'm off base on this. So last week they promote Chuck Tuesel to be the defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably, with Ricky Hundley and Teddy Bruschi, one of the three biggest names in the history of the school in football. Yet, they didn't make Chuck Tuesel available to talk to anybody in the public. They just, you know, kept him behind the screen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was a pretty good opportunity to catch the imagination of some potential ticket buyers, and yet they had the lowest home attendance for a homecoming game since 1975.
Unbelievable. And did they announce 36 and change? There was no way that was 36 and change.
I thought it was the smallest I've ever seen there. And I'm not exaggerating on that. I couldn't remember a smaller crowd than that.
Yeah, no. I don't disagree with you. I can remember thinking, you know, 30 around there, 30, 29 around there. But hey, it's not on you. It's not on me. It's on them. They have to kind of convince people to go, people to spend their money to buy tickets to go. It's just unbelievable. So let me ask you this question, because it's kind of related to your Chuck Tuesel not available guy. Someone has this rule or whatever with his freshman not talking to the media. What's he afraid that he's going to say?
I asked him about that a couple of Mondays ago, and he said basically what he said was, we don't want to give him the opportunity to say the wrong thing because it sticks with you. Well, come on. Every freshman basketball player in very high-profile U of A teams for the last 35 years has spoken to the media all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Can you remember one of them saying the wrong thing?
Well, maybe. Gilbert Arenas, maybe. But yeah. but you know what? In fact, I said this publicly to Lute not too long ago. I said, you know, Lute, if anything, thank you for letting the guys grow up, letting them be students, letting them, you know, be available. Isn't it sad? I mean, this is 15, 20 years ago. We're saying those are the good old days when we could just talk to the guys at any time or most any time.
Yeah, and as it applies to football now, a program with no personality, they further make it no personality by not showing their personality.
Right. Right. No.
It's like a compound. It's like trying to sneak into Fort Knox or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's what they think that we're trying to do, sneak into. No, we're just there to tell a story. I don't go as often as I should or need to or whatever because of my real obligations, real life obligations. But it's in a sense that if they don't care, why in the heck should I?
That's the message received. We don't want you here, even though our attendance is at a 40-year low. So people stop going and writing those stories or telling those stories on television or talking about them on the radio, and the public gets none of it.
Yeah.
And fans don't know anybody. I mean, the average guy in this town who's even a football fan, if Kevin Sumlin knocked on their front door right now, they wouldn't know who he is.
Right. No, I don't disagree. Hey, let's take a quick call here. Joseph, thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I've been a fan since I was a little boy, okay?
Yep.
And I just want to say something. It's like, interesting, what I've noticed, it's been downhill since Tommy left. Everybody, I'm pretty agree with that. But the thing that bothers me the most is that this is my feelings. I might get in trouble with people, but when you have a quarterback decides who the coach is going to be, I mean, that kid Tate was bragging that he's the one that we were ready to give the job to the Navy coach, and he says, I'm not going to play for that guy, and the rest of everybody just kind of caved in. And that was kind of a sign I knew we lost the team at that time. That's my own opinion. So I might be controversial, but I there's a lot of issues that need to be taken care of over there, and I think we need some strong leadership. I think we've also been weak in the ADs ever since we lost Sed Dempsey. So that's my two cents.
Yeah, no, Joseph, I think that, and I don't know if Greg will agree with me, but I think that's the sentiment of those who talk to me feel the same way. They feel the same way. They're not as vocal and not calling the show, obviously, but off the show and in just talking to people, they say the same thing.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like you look at it, you know, we had Sed Dempsey here. He hired Lutz, and we had some good, he did a lot. And I think he's hired even Tommy. And then what's happened is we've had all the scandals with Greg Byrne. He escapes.
Yes,
but
yes.
This guy, when he let gave in, that was awful about that Navy coach. Right now they're 7-8-1 Navy. And then what happens is we take these retreads. I'm sorry to say this. Rodriguez is a retread. This guy's a retread. Makovic's a retread. We're better than that, you know?
Yeah.
So, I'll shut my mouth.
You're on the money. Go ahead, Greg.
Joseph, when you said we're better than that, I agree 100%.
We were a beautiful university. Pac-12 school. It's a glamour school.
When you're the second best football program in the Pac-10, in the 1990s, the second best record, and you're in the top 10 four of those 10 years, and now you're the worst program over the last 20 years, wins and losses in the league, and you've made some really bad decisions.
Yes.
And not just recent administration, previous administrations, maybe even previous before that, but it's just unbelievably what we're seeing.
Unbelievable. It defies. I mean, if you were to describe this, what we've done, people wouldn't believe it. I mean, look at some of the, you know, anyhow, I'll shut up. But thanks a lot, guys, for allowing me to give my opinion.
No. Thank you, Joseph, for calling. I hope you continue to listen, or to watch and to listen. Hey, real quick, Greg, what do you think the perception in that building, if they have any self-awareness, and I'm not sure they do, what do you think they're thinking?
You mean the administrators?
Yes.
I think most of them understand that hiring Kevin Sumlin was not a good idea. And what else can you say beyond that?
Right.
How do you get out of it? I read his contract today. If you fired him right now, it's a $10
yes.
million dollar buyout.
Yes, yeah, we found that out last week. I thought you were a little shy in your story on Sunday about the paying out, but $10 million, there's no question about that. And who you're in Tucson, Arizona. Who's going to pay that money?
Yeah, and next year it goes down to $7.5 million.
Yeah, so, I think, doesn't it go 2.5 each year after that?
That's what I read.
Yeah, it's, who's going to pay that? No one's, he's stuck. I mean, everyone's stuck.
And I guess you've got to believe that if you want to back this, that he can recruit out of this. But you really think he can recruit out of this situation?
Is that a question for me?
Yeah.
No. I mean, no.
How are they going to get enough difference makers?
You're not, and they're not going to be right away. It's not going to happen overnight.
I mean, Utah. Utah is what Arizona used to be.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They stuck with the guy. He's a guy who dug in that community. He's tougher than nails, just like the Tomey years. And he's there winning with defense. He's winning with Polynesian players, which Rich Rod, you know, got away from. And Tomey had set the template for that. And Arizona just got away from what made it successful from 1981 to 1998.
In fact, if Utah is what Arizona used to be, Arizona is what Oregon State used to be.
Well, you can look. The record says that. 63 wins, 100 losses, exactly 100 losses. Since Tomey was fired or asked to resign.
I always keep you for in a second segment. Can you? I'm going to have to go to break here in a little short. But I want to talk to you real quick about, it's about football. It's about a lot of different things. Can you stick around?
Sure.
Okay, let's get ready to go take a break. A lot of stuff that we can get to. Is a good show right so far. Let's continue here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Wine the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. So you've seen enough. I think the litmus test or the sample size for Mr. Khalil Tate is you've seen enough. Why do you think he's still trying to play him a lot?
Well, it diminished last week, and I would suspect it will diminish even more in the final three games. Although they need him to be a number two guy if Gunnell gets injured, but you know, it became clear little by little over the last month, you know, I'm not mm-hmm. breaking any news here, that he just doesn't have the it factor anymore. And, I mean, it's really sad because it was pretty exciting for about 5 weeks a couple of years ago. But he just, you know, he's not a college quarterback.
Oh, no. Where do you think it went wrong with him? That great month was obviously fantastic for a lot of different things. The school, him, yada, yada, made him kind of feel like he was the quarterback. And then all of a sudden it went puff because, let's say, he had a great month, but he hasn't had anything since.
Probably a combination of about three different things. Number one, defenses played him with more smartness. And number two, he decided not to run as much with abandon. And number three, either he or someone in his corner told him that he needs to do an audition as an NFL passer in the pocket.
Right. So, I totally agree on all of your 3 points. It was Khalil messing with Khalil and his handlers or whatever. I agree with everything you just said.
Have you ever seen anything like this at a high level of college football or basketball where a guy with star power just vanished?
No, not that I paid attention to this over the last few years, but I have not. Obviously this is right in front of us, so we can't avoid it. But no, in basketball, I can't remember anything this kind of big. I was thinking that this weekend on Saturday when it was just became obvious he couldn't move the ball, and then once Gunnell came in, they moved the ball.
Gunnell is, how ironic is it that right now, in November of 2019, Gunnell is the future of the entire football program. And he came into the program waiting behind a guy who had been, quote, the future.
Right. It's funny you say that because I thought that too. Did you ever see, those things on, I think it was Showgirls, whatever it was. Yes, I watched the movie, sorry to say. Where the apprentice knocks down the star to take over. And then someone else does the same thing to her. Eventually, that's what happens.
That's a good way to put it. In Pac-12 quarterbacking over the years, there have been a lot of starters who lost their job, but almost none who had been a spectacular state without being injured.
Yeah, no question. And then he kind of wasn't great last year in terms of with the media, lost some favor, blah blah blah. Came back, thought that maybe things had changed, and he has. He's been, at least to my knowledge, he's been very good with the media, in the few times that we've had to talk to him. But that's been fixed. But now we may not see him again, or not as often.
And I do understand that he's already got his degree, so good for him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, very good for him. That's good. And we'll see what happens. Maybe he'll change positions at the next level and see what happens. But there's just so many weird things. But I don't feel sorry for coaches who have made a lot of money and all that, because they have. This is what they get paid to do. Yates is gone. Obviously, he had the $500,000 contract. And now Chuck is in there. He's made a ton of money. And now it's kind of been thrown to the wolves.
Yeah, you know, Chuck has an impossible situation.
It's a no win. Yeah, it's a no win.
I would suspect if he talked to his advisors, his agent, his family, or his best friends, I bet many of them told him, "Don't do it," because you're gonna mar your legacy there. It's a no win situation. You know, they probably thought Arizona could beat Oregon State, but you know that didn't happen, and now. Wow. Is he going to take the rap for the whole thing?
Wow. Yeah, that's not right. It's not fair. Like I said, last week, whenever Yates was fired, someone asked me on the internet, do you think he's going to do better? I says, did the players change?
Wow. Veteran KG newspaper guy. You boiled that down to
being sarcastic. Part of what I do now, yeah, just being sarcastic. But it's true, honestly. You have the same puzzle pieces or the same chess board with the same pieces. You can't do any special moves.
On Saturday, I think I had the binoculars into my eyes the entire 60 minutes of the game. I was watching the defensive guys because you know when you watch on TV or you don't really see who's good or who's bad. But I was watching some of the guys on defense and seeing the play develop, and they just couldn't make the play.
Yeah.
They were in position to make the play, but it didn't happen. I mean, if they were in the NFL, they would be released on Monday.
Yeah, right. And not that I'm laughing, but it's come to that point. I mean, there's no quick fix. There's no quick fix, one, for the team,
yeah.
And the schedule's not going to get any easier.
And what kind of players are in the recruiting pipeline who are redshirting this year or who have committed already for 2020, they have to be really good right away to step into any kind of lineup. And on paper, they sure don't look like they're that kind
right,
of guy.
Right. No, no question.
So who's coming to the rescue?
Yeah, no. Those numbers that you produced on the show are pretty good. If that's the case, they're the worst team in the last 10, 20, 19, 20 years. That's just not pretty. It's almost to a point where I think that this program is cursed.
Well, I was here and went through five excruciating seasons where they got within one game of the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so eventful and so memorable. And now it's so far away from being that close to a Rose Bowl that, yeah, you look back and shake your head and wonder if the curse does apply because they came so close on those five occasions. And now it seems like a decade away.
Yeah. We got to call another quick call here. Rudy, thanks for calling in.
Hey, I just wanted to say that, first of all, you know, with regard to, you know, Rich Rod, he quit recruiting. And I think that the people in Tucson need to, you know, understand that. I mean, he quit recruiting, and what do we expect now? And if we're not going to be able to get the Navy coach, we got Sumlin. So, you know, he can't pull miracles from recruits that just, you know, aren't beefy enough. They're not big enough. I mean, he's not going to be able to do that in 1 year or 2 years.
So let me ask you, Rudy. So are you okay with what's going on now? I understand your point, but are you okay with what's going on? So you're still hopeful that this can be changed in the next year or two under the same conditions? Under the same conditions.
Yeah, he needs 4 years. He needs 4 years to.
Do you have 4 years?
Well, here's a question. Let's say that we get rid of someone. Who are we going to get?
Good question.
Urban Myers, you know, is going to walk in the door.
No, they don't have money for it. No, that ain't happening.
I mean, let us be, you know, as a university, as a, you know, we got to be realistic.
No question.
We're not going to get Urban Myers. We're not going to go and get, you know, some other hot coach out there. We're not going to get Bob Stoops. They ain't happening. This is the University of Arizona, you know. So we've got to give him 4 years. You know, we got to understand that. Rich Rod, you know, quit you know, he quit recruiting. He stopped recruiting, and we could see that.
Rudy, let me tell you this. I don't disagree with your 4 years. One, in part because they don't have the money to pay him right now, $10 million. They won't have the money to pay him $7.5 million, and they'll barely have enough to get him to $5 million. So that'll give you 2 more years. If I'm lucky enough to have this show in 2 years, Rudy, please call back and tell me, Steve, yeah, you're a bunch of malarkey, and tell me this, and say, and I'll say, Rudy, you are right. I'm full of it. Because yeah, you know
well,
what?
I
totally agree.
The other thing I was just going to say is I think someone, I think, made a real tactical, you know, mistake. When he came on board, you know, he got too influenced by the players. They wanted to keep, you know, Marcel Yates. And so he said, okay, well, we'll keep Marcel Yates, you know. And he felt the pressure not to go out and get his own defensive coordinator, you know. So he kept him from a lot of pressure from the players, I think, and probably some of the fans, you know, some of the recruits or whatever. And now looking back, you know, he should have just came in and wiped the board clean and started all over. And I think that's what, you know, he wanted to do. But I think he gave in to a little pressure, you know, to keep Marcel Yates because – there was a particular quarterback that was really wanting Marcel Yates to be, you know, the head coach,
yeah,
if you remember.
Right. Rudy, thanks
and,
a bunch.
Maybe that's a lesson learned, you know, going forward. Don't listen to the players.
Yeah, I totally get you. Thanks for calling. Thanks for you listening often, Rudy? Well, he's gone. Greg, do you agree with anything that Rudy said?
I thought he made a lot of good points. And translated, he basically said Arizona's stuck.
Yeah. Yeah. No, in fact, someone said, texted me, can I ask you the question about the money? So you think that if they have the $5 million, do you think 7.5 is payable?
I didn't think it was payable to pay off Rich Rod, and given the debt service these days in college athletics, it was payable. You know, 30 years from now, 3 athletic directors down the line, he'll still be paying off Rich Rod's buyout.
Mm-hmm.
So they just put stuff on their credit card now and make moves. And so I think basically anything's possible.
Yeah. In funny, I don't know if you saw this on the AZ Central website today. You know a name mentioned to replace Mr. Sumlin?
No.
Graham. I laughed just a little bit harder than you just did.
There wouldn't be 3 people in the stadium if they hired Sparky Graham.
It would be bad. Hey, yeah, we got to go to break. Thanks for coming on. I mean, we didn't even talk about basketball. We'll have to talk about that soon.
Yeah, I'll see you Wednesday night.
Wednesday night, yes. Take care. Thanks for coming on. Good show.
Thank you.
All right. That was Greg Hansen of the Arizona Daily Star. We're going to take a break here and have Lamont Hundley for another interesting call here on the other side of the break here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, and this is AM 1030 The Voice. I'm going to talk now with Lamont Hundley, former U of A football player. Lamont, how are you?
All righty, my man. All righty.
Good.
Getting over homecoming, in a good sense, at least I got to hang out with some former player users and some former playmates and teammates and things like that. So it made for a good weekend.
Yes. No, I know. It's always good to see your buddies. I mean, mm-hmm. I think, I don't know if I've talked to you, because we had Julius here with you before. Maybe I asked this question. I'm sure there was a lot of crazy talk when you guys got together. And who was the biggest crazy talker this weekend?
Actually, this weekend it was probably David Adams. He had a lot to say.
That's a given. If he's not the winner, he's the runner-up.
Oh, yeah. He was very front and center this weekend for sure.
Yes. He always needs to be the front and center. Shortest guy in the room with the biggest heart and all that stuff.
Yeah. Everything else that comes with it.
Yeah. So who were you happy to see?
You know, actually, there were some guys that I hadn't seen in years. A guy named Woody Woodford, he was our defensive back. And actually, when I was a freshman, he was a senior. Reggie Well, another guy, Van Brandon. I see him mostly, but, you know, Mike Freeman. There's some guys that came out from Canada, some different guys like that. There's in town, Steve Bowway. I mean, Bowway and I play linebacker together, and he lives up in northern Arizona, but he never comes down to Tucson, but he came down this weekend and hung out. And actually, my brother was here. We spend, you know, the weekend together. He gets free room and board when he comes in town.
He probably doesn't have to buy a beer anywhere.
Well, other with me, when he comes to my house, he got to do something. He actually cooked us breakfast on Saturday morning.
Wow.
Which was great.
Well, there's always the family to humble you. You know that.
Yeah. Amen.
Yes. So you had a good time. That's good. At least, and you brought ex guys here because the stadium needed people in the building.
Oh, wasn't that sad, man? I mean, I looked up there and, you know, I was blaming it on the great weather, but they couldn't do that, you know. And I'm like, come on, it's homecoming. You know, you think that there should be more butts in the seats and, you know, more people excited about coming in for homecoming. And we got an opponent like Oregon State that we should win and beat and defeat. And, you know, no one was there, Steve. I mean, it was very sad.
I saw, in fact, so the fans here in town, you don't have to do it, I'll do it. You've been here a long time, so have I. They complained when the game started at 7:30, 8:30, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Okay, now the game starts at 1:30, and guess what? Nobody showed up.
Nobody showed, exactly.
So now,
actually, the weather wasn't that bad either.
It was fantastic.
I thought it was wonderful. It was a great day to have a, you know, kick back and get a little tan, if those that need it.
That's what Oregon State did.
They did. A tan and a win.
So. Yeah. So what, and I, hey, you know, every time you're going to come on, because you're going to come on once a week with the Arizona Health Show, kind of. So I don't want to be the naysayer all the time, but what did you not like? I mean, was there a lot of things not to like, or what were the top two?
Well, I mean, you like, there was a lot of things not to like. You know, I was very disappointed in the actual defense itself. As far as the defense, again, I expected more, you know, excitement. I expected more enthusiasm. I expected more, you know, hard hitting plays. I was kind of disappointed on that aspect of it. You know, from the Chuck aspect of it to the player aspect, but who do we blame for that? That by far, I expected more and did not see that at all. So it was very disappointing on that end of it. I wish that they would have ran the ball more. I think Taylor was the, you know,
yes,
the X factor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that kid wanted the ball. He by far was the, you know, most exciting player on the field on our side of the ball by far. And I think he would have gave us more if they would have kept the ball in his hand and just let him, you know, run him to death, run him, you know, and throw the ball to him just as well, the quick passes here and there. You know, those things I think could have been a difference in the game. And probably the number one thing is, I mean, our kicker.
Yeah.
I mean, I think our kicker, it did hurt us, again, in certain situations, miss extra point and the missed field goal. The missed field goal, heck, we was 8 points in the game in the third quarter, you know. And right there, you know, we could have the momentum could have changed and the whole
structure of the game.
The game could could 360. Who knows? You know,
right.
Who knows? And those things did not happen. But by those are the most the three things that stand out the most that I thought that, you know, was very disappointing. You know, as far as, you know, watching the game and viewing it from my perspective.
I'm wondering, when you're an athlete and you watch your team play and you see missed opportunities, and I'll give you two, because as a writer, I've seen enough games, talked to you guys often enough that, okay, so you're doing really well, you open the drive, and I'm not talking about Saturday, but kind of. You go in and there's an easy chance to get seven. You get three. Okay, next opportunity, you get easy chance to get seven. You get three. So now you've left 8 points on the board.
Yes, sir.
And those are important points at the end of the day.
Right.
How I don't know, defeating or deflating or whatever word you want to use, is it?
Oh, it is. I mean, it's especially as a defensive player. I mean, I think it's, I mean, you work your butt off to give the offense the ball back and put the offense in a good situation. Well, they should drive down the field and get 7 points, you know, but yet still they, you know, they settle for three. You know, it's a big letdown in regards to morale. As far as from one player to another player, you know, and you look at him, he's like, man, how could you, you know, not get in the end zone? You know, so it is. It's very flattening. And so you go out there with your head kind of down and say, let me get through this motion. And you know, and Steve actually kind of felt that way, you know, after the first few field goals that we did end up getting. It felt like, well, let's go through the motion here and let's see what the outcome will be. And, you know, even at the time of getting closer to the end zone, I thought the ball should have stayed in Taylor's hand.
Yeah.
And the outcome could have been different. Who knows? But it is. I mean, it's sad when you work your tail off and get closer to the red zone and the end zone and you can't get in and you can't complete it.
And then there's times when you don't get anything.
Yeah, exactly. That's even worse.
Yeah,
that's even worse when you sit there and you turn the ball over or give it away in possessions and downs because you can't get in the end zone. I mean, that's even worse.
Let me. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to answer the question. I'll preface it this way: you're out in the community. You have a business here. Obviously, a great business. People know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
What's the vibe you get on this team? Like I say, you can.
No, man. It's weird. I mean, it's a weird type of a vibe as far as looking at these kids and trying to get a feel of the kids. As far as, I mean, are they deep into this thing and are they in it for the real reason or have they given up on the season?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, have they really given up on the season at this point in time? You know, sadly, not just the players, Steve, but the staff too.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta evaluate that just as well. I mean, have we got to the point where, you know, we see there's nothing at the end of this tunnel? Do we just give up and pack it in for the next year? And you know, the tale of that is going to be if he starts Grinnell next week versus Tate.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to answer the question right there as far as where are we thinking and what direction we're going with our football team. And, you know, and that's the player per se, our players that's out there playing the game, they're going to see that too, and they're going to think the same way. If you don't stay with Tate, you go with this kid, you're telling me you're planning for the future. You're not
mm-hmm.
planning for these last four games. So I think, you know, we'll see that answer come in a couple of weeks when we play Oregon.
By saying that to me, and you can tell me I'm wrong too, mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. you're saying, I'm thinking if people look at it that way,
mm-hmm.
Sumlin is in a no-win situation. Because if you have him starting Grinnell, they're looking to the future, like you said. If they mm-hmm. start Tate, they're probably mm-hmm. thinking, what are you thinking?
And you're right. He's in no-win situation. But you know what? If I'm doing it, I'm going to run with the kid that got me to this point and stay with that kid because I think the rest of the players is going to rally around Tate versus they're going to, you know, take the opinion that, okay, he's going to the future. He don't believe in us right now. But if he stays with Tate, me as a player, I'm going to say, well, this man believe in us now and we got an opportunity to, you know, get something out of these four games here. You know, and stay with this kid. I mean, I don't see, again, most of my problems has not been with Tate. Most of my problems, again, has been with this offensive line that we have.
Mm-hmm.
This offensive line and the offensive line coach got to figure out some kind of way of protecting Tate and let Tate get out there and be the athlete that he is. And, you know, just sit back and if there's an opportunity to throw the ball, not run the ball, you know. But the kid is, you know, sitting there, you know, second-guessing this. If I throw the ball, they're
right.
going to, you know, take me out the game. If I don't run the ball, they're going to take me out the game. What do I do? So, I mean, just sit down with this kid and let this kid know that we're believing you 100%. We're behind you, okay? These are the things we need to do, game plan for it, and move forward and stay with it. And let the Tucson community know that Tate's my man. He hasn't said that. You know, he hasn't said that. He said, I got two players that
right.
are capable of going on this field.
Right.
But I'll say, Tate's my man, and I'll stay with the kid.
Which leads you to believe that he'll continue to do the two quarterback situation.
Yeah, or one quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
It could very easily be one quarterback, and that's Grinnell, you know, the next few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Very easily.
You know?
And Tate, you know, what they're going to throw him out there in a slot somewhere or giving the ball in the backfield. You got 2 minute running back, so the only place you can place him in the slot somewhere.
Right.
And
right.
try to give him the ball and let him do what he's capable of doing as an athlete.
Yeah, no, it's tough times. I mean, mm-hmm. it's last you've been around 30 some years now.
Mm-hmm.
I've been 30 and I didn't ask Greg this, but it seems like this is one of the lowest times in UA football outside of the Makovic time.
Oh, it's very low. It's very very low in regards to and wins and losses, first and foremost, is very low as far as the attendance and the people that believing, you know, that this is an effective product that's going out on this field. You know, it's sad. I mean, it's sad. And somebody was talking about, do we sit here and look at this as a pressure situation for our university? But right now, I mean, I push the panic button. I think it's a very panicable situation.
Right,
I mean,
right.
There's no question about
Let
that.
Me tell you something. We got to go almost pretty soon here. But they panicked. They almost changed. They changed the name from UA to UA Arizona.
Oh,
that's
hell.
How crazy.
Hey, you know what? They did that so they can be able to be the first person to come up on the search bar. So.
Yeah. Hey, we got to go, Lamont. Thank you.
All
take
right,
care.
Boss.
Thank you.
I'll see you at the basketball game.
Yes. See. Take care. Take care. And 10:30 The Voice.